So good morning, everybody, on this morning of the very first day of the ITB Berlin Congress. And welcome to all our guests and listeners to our first ITB podcast, which is called Beyond Business. We're sitting here in the midst of the hall, so you might hear a little noise around us in the midst of the first day. So it's already very busy. And we're sitting in a little Volkswagen Bulli, which is our studio. It seems to be quite convenient to be here. I'm very honored to have my first guest today is Mr. Aziz Abu Sara. He's a peace activist and a tour operator from Palestine. So welcome, Mr. Aziz Abu Sara. It's great having you here on our first podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
The first and foremost question in these difficult days, did you have a safe connection and a safe flight and a safe arrival to Berlin, because this is very difficult in these days?
Yes, I have. But many, many people I know right now, many friends, many families are stranded, unable to go back home to Jerusalem, which is where I'm from. And so it's a difficult time all considering, but also it's really difficult when there's a war happening and people dying to be, you know, functioning as normal. And we coming to an exhibit and it's very difficult to do our work while we know many people are getting killed.
Yeah, as we all can witness right now through the media. When I checked the list of speakers of the ITB Congress and then I discovered your name and what you were doing, and I was really saying to myself, I really want to talk to this person because this seems to be very special and very important in these days. And being a peace activist and working for peace, especially which is in the one of the most tested areas on earth and then the most hostile areas where so many things seem to be so hopeless in this moment. So thanks again for being here. It's really great to have this occasion to talk about peace. You grew up close to a town close to Jerusalem, to East Jerusalem, probably in the 80s, or what was that like in those days?
When you grew up in it, you don't realize it's different than what your childhood probably was like. My neighborhood, it's Bethany, where mentioned in the Bible, is just about 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers outside the center of East Jerusalem. We had no playgrounds, we had no activities, no nothing. And then we had Israeli soldiers raiding our school when I was a kid. I was shot at first time when I was 7 or 8 years old. It was very difficult to grow up in those times. I think all of us are terribly traumatized. And then when I was 10 years old, my brother was killed by Israeli soldiers. And I grew up very angry and very bitter, and I didn't believe in peace. So now you introduce me as a peace activist, but I was, as a kid, I wasn't. To me, it was all about avenging my brother's death. The feeling that revenge is the only path, because if somebody kills your brother, that's the only way forward. And that continued with me until I was 18 years old. And that's when I had a transformation and realization that by choosing revenge, I was being a slave to the person who killed my brother. And I was reacting to their actions. And I wanted to be free from this person and saying, you don't deserve forgiveness necessarily. You didn't ask for it. But the power is me being able to give it, even though you don't deserve it.
Looking at your website, you're a peace activist, you're a journalist, you're a social entrepreneur, you're also a politician. But furthermore,
you... A failed politician.
And furthermore, you're also a tour operator.
Yes.
And the company is called Mejdi. Do I say that correctly?
Say that perfectly. Mejdi Tours.
Maybe you can tell us, because we're on ITB, you can tell us a little bit about what this tour operator is doing.
So Mejdi means honor, respect, glory in Arabic. I co-founded it with a Jewish friend. Most of my initiatives, almost all, I'm a serial entrepreneur, have been with Jewish friends. And we both worked in conflict resolution and realized you cannot make peace only in conference rooms. It needs to be in every aspect of our life. And we thought tourism is the best industry. There are 1.5 billion people who travel internationally every year now. What if, instead of just taking photos and seeing sights, they actually connect, truly connect to people who live where they go? It's the biggest cultural exchange we can have. And then we start developing these programs that were different. We realized there's a lack of understanding different sides and voices that aren't heard in certain countries. So in Israel and Palestine, we decided to put an Israeli and a Palestinian tour guides together to lead the whole trip for 10 days, for 1 week at the same time. And during the trip, we meet many people, families, eat dinners with them, rabbis, imams, archaeologists, journalists, musicians, and just connect to the place we're going to. And then we start replicating that in other places, South Africa, Northern Ireland, Uzbekistan, Colombia, all these places. And we realize many tourists go to these places and they leave without meeting one person other than a single tour guide. And I'm reminded usually of a quote from Ibn Battuta, in which he says, travel makes you speechless, but then it turns you into a storyteller. And I always ask people who I meet who say they traveled a lot, I'm like, have you gotten a story to tell? A story of somebody you met? And if you don't, you haven't really traveled. It's not only about beaches and sightseeing. We do those. They're important. They're fun. It's much more. It's about connecting to true stories and not only accepting the dominant narrative. No place has a single story. There are many stories. Berlin doesn't have a single story. Germany doesn't have a single story. And yet, I can beg you, actually, I know because we've run tours in Berlin, I can bet you most tours that go in Berlin, especially the organized tours, will tell a narrative and it all flows perfectly. That's not how life is. Nothing flows perfectly.
I can assure you to that, especially when it comes to Berlin. There, at least there's an East German perspective and there's a West German right. perspective. And in many ways, they turn out to be very different and then very controversial, even after so many years. And that's even more true from the other part of the world we're talking yeah. about right now. And you're dividing your life between Palestine and living in the U.S. How yeah. does this work out on a practical basis? Because, I mean, Israel and the U.S. are not so nice to Palestinians in those days, to put it mildly.
Yeah, it's difficult, but I'm used to that. I grew up with no citizenship. I had zero citizenship until I was in my 30s. I had zero citizenship. And so I'm used to airports not being nice to me. I'm used to governments not being nice to me. Also, being a peace activist is not about expecting governments to be nice to you. There's a lot of sacrifices that come with it. It's difficult, but it's what's needed. And I think we all call to do what is uncomfortable. If we only do things that are comfortable, nothing ever changes. To make a social change in our countries, to push for peacemaking, is not comfortable. You pay a price for it, but it's what's good for us. And there's an organization called OLMEP, Alliance for Middle East Peace, who did a polling recently in the United States, including among Trump's biggest fans, the MAGA people. And vast majority of them say the United States investment should be more in peace than in weapons in the Middle East. So I got more people on my side than we think. We all got more people on our side than we think. I think politicians fool us to believe that the majority are for war. And that's not true.
Talking to you as a peace activist who has a long experience in peace tourism, so to say, what would be the starting point for somebody who wants to get in that kind of business and I want to contribute to some peace process idea? What would be your recommendation from your experience?
Look, I'm in pain. Watching the suffering is very hard to watch, whether it's in Gaza or whether it's in Iran with an oppressive regime and then bombs falling over people. You're between a rock and a hard place. It's very difficult. But if we just discouraged, we accept the reality around us. And that reality is broken, and I refuse to accept it. And hope is not something we feel. Hope is something we create. We create by acting, by doing something to change that reality. So I'm always hopeful because I'm always going to try to do something to change that reality. I just finished writing a book called The Futures Peace. My co-author is an Israeli. His parents were killed on October 7th, Ma'oz Inon. 4 days after his parents were killed, he was on television crying. And when they asked him, why are you crying? He said, I'm not crying for my parents only. I'm crying for children in Gaza. And then he said, we can work together to stop this. So I reached out to him and we became friends, brothers, and ended up writing this book together. But I'm thinking, if somebody like this, and somebody like me, my brother was killed by Israelis, his parents were killed by Palestinians, can come together days after his parents were killed, work together, travel all over the world together, meet with leaders together. We met with Pope Francis and Pope Leo. We just carried the Olympic torch together last month to create symbols that people can believe in and can stand behind. Then change is possible. And so my message to people who want to do this, look, the travel industry is still lacking massive spaces in which we include local communities in it. To me, travel is about, I learned from Dr. Harold Goodwin, that responsible travel is about making the places we go to better for the locals first and then for us as travelers. And so if travel isn't making it better for locals, isn't helping changing reality for the good for locals, then it's missing the point. And there's so many opportunities to do that, starting organizations that build those kind of experiences. Not be afraid even of talking about controversial topics, social issues, economy, political stuff. In some countries, it's dangerous. I get it. But in many countries, it's possible and we don't do it. That's where there is a big market that I think has not been explored yet.
So there are always people who think differently, who feel differently, and who act differently, even in those dark days we're experiencing today. And I mean, looking at the West Bank as a tourist destination, and I've been there 2 times, and it's such a great place to travel. And I mean, it's so diverse.
Yeah.
It has so much history, not only biblical history, and you have very hospitable people. And so there's what we call, there's a lot of potential there, right?
Absolutely. So I'll give you an example. Most German tourists who go to, since we're in Berlin, who go on Holy Land trips, pilgrimage trips, they go to Bethlehem for half a day, and that's pretty much their extent.
That's it. And then they go back to Israel.
The whole West Bank. And I'm like, how could you? If you're going on a biblical tour, biblical land was mostly in the West Bank. How do you not go and explore that? And then, I'm sorry to say it, but Christians who go from here to do pilgrimages don't meet with any of the Christians in the Holy Land. Don't meet with any of the churches because they don't want to hear something that might make them feel uncomfortable. Or they maybe don't think about it. And that's the change that needs to happen at dinner. So in my, what I design, the tours I work on, and I enjoy doing product development. My favorite thing in my company to do is a product development. I go to a place like Bethlehem and I find families who would host our travelers for lunch or for dinner. I find ministers, pastors who would come and host us in their church for a conversation with them. I'll create a food tour. So you actually walk through the market and sample the different kinds of food that exist there. We do some stuff with artists, and Bethlehem has beautiful music scene. And so we meet some of the artists there and talk about the music and the development of music there and on and on. And so instead of spending only 2 hours in Bethlehem going to the Nativity Church, we do that. And then after, you do all these things. And suddenly when people go back to their homes, they'll never forget this place. And when they hear about it in the news, it's not this random place that, oh, something happened. They know they have friends there, and they sometimes stay in touch many, many, many years later. And I have so many stories of 15 years after a tour, people are still in touch with those they met 15 years or earlier. That's the test if tourism is able to create change or not.
But the world knows too little about it. And I guess you're going to use ITB also for spreading that kind of message. Or is this the core message you're giving on your speech?
Absolutely. My message is we need to transform tourism to be a place for traveling to peace, for traveling to consciousness. Nobody knew about ecotourism 20 years ago, and now it's a big thing. But eco alone is not enough. We need to do both. It's socially responsible, connecting with locals, and we do the eco. If you allow me, I created those boarding passes as a bookmark, and I put on a poem by one of my favorite poets. And his name is Samih al-Qasim, a Palestinian poet. And in it he says, "The day I'm killed, my killer, rifling through my pockets, will find traveling tickets. One to peace, one to the fields and the rain, and one to the conscience of a humankind. So I beg you, my dear killer, do not waste such a thing. Please take these tickets and go traveling. And to me, travel is about traveling to peace. Every trip we do is an act of diplomacy. If we think about it, when we go from one place to another, we're creating a relationship. That's diplomacy. That's citizen diplomacy. And the power that citizen diplomacy can do, and the power that travel has, is much more than any politician can do. Because the moment those 1 billion people, 1.5 billion people traveling, connecting to another 1.5 billion people, imagine one connection changes the whole world. That's half of the world interacting. And we taking out the politician in the middle who tells us to hate each other and saying, no, I know you. I have no reason to hate you because you're German, and you have no reason to hate me because I'm Palestinian, and vice versa with everybody. That's how things can change. We can break all the stereotypes, the fear. Wars are made by fear, by hate, by separation. Martin Luther King Jr. talks about it. It's like people hate each other because they don't know each other. They don't know each other because they are separated from one another. Tourism is the one industry that can truly break that. It's not tech, it's not Messenger, it's not Facebook, because it's not the same. You meet somebody, you eat with them. It's so different.
I mean, it's great to hear such a message on our very first day of ITB. And I think that is basically what it's all about. And that's the great thing about traveling and explore the unknown and explore that we are all people on this planet in yes. one way or the other, and don't get divided and don't become a victim of your own bias or of your own hostility. And this is why we all should travel and become to know each other. And Mr. Abu Sada, it was great having you here. I think there were more things we could talk about on various issues, but time is running out. This is ITB. Everybody's busy. So thank you very much for being here. And I hope you have a great ITB and a great time in Berlin. Thank you very much.
Thank you for amplifying the voices that promote peace. This is the one most important key thing for everyone can do. Don't amplify only the voices that call for hate and violence and fear. Don't amplify those voices. Amplify those who are promoting peace. We can do it, even if media and politicians don't.
We will spread that message, especially in these difficult days. Thank you very much for having you here. Thank you.